and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Defenders of the Bank proudly present to you your podcast champions of the world, the Beast from the East, Christian Philly Philemon, the Mouth of the South Bay, J.R. Liebert, the Scarf. We are Defenders of the Bank.
Yeah.
And if you ain't down with that.
We got two words for Philly. Not you, but the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome. You just came up with that on the spot, by the way. I was standing right next to you, sitting right next to you, when you came up with that. You have to forgive us both. Our voices may be a little hoarse.
Of course.
Right? Because not only were we at the LAFC versus Philadelphia match, which was incredible. Not only did we do both pre- and post-game with Vince LaRosa and Connor Kolopsis of 110 Football. And not only were we asked to be kind of like carnival barkers out at the 110 Football booth, where we had a whole lot of fun cheering on, especially a five-year-old that made like 4 out of 5 in that cool game. But we also just talk too damn much, and that's why we don't really have a voice right now. But you know what, Philly? You know what we do want to use our voices for to start off this podcast? We want to talk about some moms.
Oh, Scarf, we got mama jokes?
No. This one's no joke, Philly, because it is 12:30 a.m. on Sunday, May 8th. And you know what that means, Philly?
Hold on.
Oh, boy.
Is that what it means?
I mean, yes. Also,
it's Miller time.
I thought you were going to say it's Mother's Day.
It's Miller time because it's Mother's
happy
Day.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Look, this is a very special day for both Philly and I. Obviously, we love our moms very, very much. And we also have had many other moms take care of us throughout the years with all of the decisions that we make from time to time. I just want to say to all of the moms listening, especially to Mama Scarf out there, to Carol, my mama, happy Mother's Day. We hope that Defenders of the Bank is only the second best thing that you're listening to or you get to do here on Mother's Day, that your family's taking care of you, that you're doing something special. And if you don't have your mom with you anymore, or if maybe you're your mom and you don't talk anymore, or whatever it might be, just, you know what? Do something nice for someone else's mom, too, because everybody out there, you're all here because someone was your mom. So happy Mother's Day, especially to my mom, Mama Scarf. Philly?
And I want to give a shout out to my mom, Mama Philly, who's 3,000 miles away,
yep,
chilling quite lovely in New York City. Mom, I love you. I'm a pain in the rear. You know that, but, you know, I'm a half yours, so that makes me you half the equation. but I love you. Thank you for giving me life. My mother-in-law, Mama Cindy, nothing but love. God bless you. You're 1,500 miles away because she is technically in the middle of the country. And obviously, I want to give a shout out to Robin Harnischfeger. Nothing but love to all the other moms out there, the millions.
And millions.
And actually trillions of mothers out there, because there's certainly a lot more mothers out there than there are fans of Defenders of the Bank.
That's for sure.
But we certainly love you. It's your day. Treat it and attack it as you would anything else.
Yeah, and you know,
with love and joy.
My mom's not on social media, but I have to say one of the coolest
things. You're barely on social media.
That's very true lately. But I have to say one of the coolest things is anytime we post something on social media, your mom is one of the first people to comment. Obviously, Cindy is one of the first people to comment. And so is Valerie, Nina's mom. They all three of them.
Oh.
They really love and support all of us. My mom loves and supports us, too. She just doesn't go on social media, but I just want to give a shout out to all of them.
Wait, she's not posting on Facebook. It's not real.
She actually does.
Until your mom pokes you on Facebook, it's not real.
No, thank you.
That's when Facebook got weird to me, when I got poked
when you
by
got
my mom.
Poked by your mom. If you had that on your Defenders bingo card, please mark that off and then hang your head in shame.
It literally was a feature. Like, you get poked on Facebook.
No, I remember
Facebook.
It, dude. It was weird to have a bunch of people poke me on Facebook. But look, I think it's so cool that we're so supported by moms. Speaking of which, Philly, thank
what about
goodness,
Stacey's mom? I heard
she's got it going on. Yeah, there you go.
She's all I want and have waited for so long.
I'm so sorry.
Stacey, can't you see?
We're 4 minutes and 18 seconds into this podcast. It's going real well. I love it. Philly, thank goodness that it's a Saturday match, because an 8 p.m. I thought when we looked at the schedule, Philly, I was like, an 8 p.m. Eastern, because we're playing Philly, right? No, 8 p.m. Pacific. So that means if you're a Union fan out there and you're listening to this recap because you want to figure out what happened in one of the most exciting regular season matches since, the last time we played the Philadelphia Union, that you were up at 11 o'clock watching that kickoff, being able to watch Max Bredo say, "They're back in black."
Yeah.
I just, Philly, an 11 p.m. start time for the best team in the East. What does that say about how Major League Soccer feels about the Philadelphia Union?
It means they love LAFC more than the Philadelphia Union, but I don't take that as a negative. So if I was if I felt the way about the Union living out there that I do about LAFC, I think it would be kind of cool because I would be out and about on a beautiful Saturday, hanging out with my friends. I would go to some bar. I'd get nice and toasty, if you know what I mean, and I would prop myself up on a bar stool at 11 p.m., and I would happily watch this game. And then I would leave around 1:30-ish feeling slightly more toastier, but, you know, with a desire to go home and entertainment. Because not for nothing, the result didn't necessarily go the way either of us would have wanted to have happen. But nonetheless, if you were an unbiased fan, it was a very entertaining game.
I think you mentioned that, too, on the 110 Football postgame show, that if you were just the casual MLS fan and someone said, well, here's a fun matchup. It's the team that's in the top of the table in the East against a team that's in the top of the table overall for the Supporters Shield and in the West. Let's check it out. Let's see what we think. You would walk away from this match just absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, Philly, without a doubt. Before we go on, I don't want the millions to be very confused about something.
Okay.
We're obviously recapping the game between LAFC and
Philadelphia Philly.
Yeah, Philadelphia Union. Yeah. So we're going to be saying the term Philly a lot. I just want to reiterate one thing.
Yeah.
I am not from the city of brotherly love.
No.
I just want to make that very clear. I am from Queens, New York, and I've spent most, if not all, of my adult life in Manhattan. So not to confuse the masses, the millions.
And millions.
When he says Philly, he either means the Union or he means me, so, but the two don't coexist.
Quick question. Let me not just peel back the curtain a little bit here at Defenders Nation, but also maybe roll up the sleeve, if you will, of Defenders Nation. Your last name is spelled how? One more time for the record.
Foxtrot, Indigo, Lima, Indigo, Mike, Oscar, November.
Right. Foxtrot meaning with an F, right?
Yes.
The tattoo that you have on your arm.
Yeah. Why are you bringing up that?
Because it says what?
It says Philly.
Philly with an F?
No.
Sorry.
And we'll just leave it at that.
I love it. All right, so
it's one of those cover-up jobs that I haven't covered up yet.
We do love our moms, but you know what, Philly? You and I are going to be in some very different places that won't involve our moms tomorrow. You, my friend, in what, less than 12 hours, you're going to be taking, is it the surf liner? What do they call that?
No, in 12 hours, I'll be there.
Right.
So
what do they call that? Surf liner?
Pacific Surf Liner. Yeah. So I'm hopping a train out of Burbank at 9:17 a.m. to head down to San Diego because I was invited by the commissioner of the Major Arena Soccer League.
Which one?
This one was Keith Tozer.
Because there are three.
There's Keith Tozer, Shep Messing, and JP Della Camera.
Yep.
Hopefully y'all have heard of some of these guys. If not, look them up. Historically in the world of soccer, they're titans in the grand scheme of things. Speaking of titans, the Major Arena Soccer League actually made an announcement for a new owner.
I was going to tee you up on this let's talk about Mother's Day first.
All right, so I'm going to be, my mom's 3,000 miles away, so she's not going to be mad that I'm missing Sunday brunch.
Right.
Because there's no way I'm going to hop the F train to get there from here. But I'm going to San Diego because it's the MASL final. It is the San Diego Sockers against the Florida Tropics. Yes, that's right. The same colors of the Flint Tropics. Yes, the Will Ferrell movie. So I'll be down in San Diego for the day, hanging out, which isn't a bad thing. I'll be by myself, though, because all of you, meaning you,
me,
and the Angel City Chicks will be doing something completely different.
So I will be a distant third in what anybody cares about that I'm doing tomorrow. You're absolutely right. Kind of a neat thing. We didn't even know this until I got an email this morning. Yes, we are all going to the Angel City Football Club match. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be taking on the Orlando Pride, which means Marta. That'll be cool. We'll talk about that more real quick in the Angel City.
Girl's a legend.
But before that, if you have a ticket to the Angel City match, you can actually roll up to the Giltini's rugby match for free. That's right, for free if you have a ticket to Angel City. So you know what?
Scarf, you're assuming that the masses even know who the Giltini's are.
They're a rugby team that plays at the Coliseum right across the way there from Banc of California.
Are there more people in the stands or on the Giltini's team?
Look, it's actually been kind of a cool thing. What, like 3,000, 4,000? I don't even know the actual
attendance. Well, in the Coliseum, that looks like nothing, but that's still pretty darn good.
I do feel bad that they're playing in a cavernous stadium and they get, but who they do get, they are a solid following. They won the rugby championship last year for whatever league it is that they play in. So the Giltinis and ACFC with a match. And then, you know, We'll give the bank 24 hours without us, and then we'll come back and do it all again on Tuesday. What do you think?
I mean, I think that's kind of good because it's the U.S. Open Cup, and we're about to square off again against the pesky Pine Trees, the last MLS team that knocked us out of the U.S. Open Cup.
A team that we've now played. We're going to play three times in the Open Cup so far. In our,
I mean, we got a lot of home games this month.
And five games in the month of May.
I'm not mad at that. That's actually all right.
And we will talk about that later on with scheduling with the scarf. Just want to remind everybody that the Mauricio Mo Fazio Futsal Court in Southeast L.A. is underway with their fundraising efforts. LAFC, the LAFC Foundation, and the 3252 are partnering to build a futsal court in Southeast L.A. in Mo's honor, and the link to donate is in our bio on Instagram. And
hasn't changed.
Absolutely. And we at Defenders of the Bank are planning several ways to help raise money for this court being built in Mo's memory. So let's do a quick rundown. We've got a little bit of this day in LAFC history and a bunch of news and notes. We're going to do a very quick, and I promise it'll be quick, a very quick look back.
He lies.
I'm not watch. It's going to be quick. At how a few former players from our inaugural season of 2018 are doing now in 2022. A very quick look at both the Las Vegas Lights and Angel City Football Club. And then, of course, the breakdown of the 12-round heavyweight fight that wound up being a draw between Philadelphia Union and LAFC. And, of course, we'll take our last little bit of look at the standings and the schedule. A quick reminder, if you're not already, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Defenders of the Bank, and on Twitter at Defend the Bank. We do appreciate the support. Philly, we're going to do a very quick This Day in LAFC History. This game was played on May 7th, and on May 7th, 2019, Carlos Vela named the 2019 EA Sports MLS Player of the Month for April 2019. He was also the Player of the Month in March 2019. He became the seventh player in MLS history to be named Player of the Month in back-to-back months. Also, I got to throw this in there because we love this guy and we miss him as part of the club. Philip Ejimadu was named to the 2019 USL League One Team of the Week for Week 6 while on loan with FC Tucson. That's Tucson for all of you playing the home version. Philly, I believe you may be the only player that I have seen, the only supporter.
Whoa. Player?
Right?
Or player?
Play it with an A.
I'm not either.
The only supporter of LAFC that I've ever seen with a Philip Ejimadu jersey.
Hey, you know what? He was the first interview we ever had when we first started this podcast. We didn't go big. We didn't get the Tyler Millers or the Ryan Hollingsheads. We started with Philip Ejimadu. And quite honestly, he was such a sweet kid.
Did you just say we didn't go big with Tyler Miller or Ryan Hollingshead?
Well, yeah, because there are a couple other podcasts out there and they know who they are. They started out with really big guests. You and I, for lack of a, I mean, we just didn't.
Philip Ejimadu is a really big guy.
Well, yes, physically, you're right. But, yes. I mean, in terms of like his tenure and his stature with LAFC,
yeah, not so
I'd say Tyler Miller a little bigger than Philip Ejimadu. A
little bit.
But regardless, yes, I do have his jersey in the back in the closet here.
And you just cleaned your closet, by the way. That's pretty cool.
I did, and I'm quite stunned at how many LAFC jerseys I have.
And scarves, right? You got a few scarves.
I didn't think I had that many until I all of a sudden filled two bins.
Well, that's how you know you have a problem, sir. Also,
six.
Listen, I'm this scarf. Also, this day in LAFC history,
Philly
rounding
the jersey would be a weird term. Philly the jersey from Queens.
From Queens.
It's like that Forrest Gump thing. It's like Dallas from Phoenix.
We just lost Philly for a minute there.
No, I'm still
also
here.
As part of this day in LAFC history, today, it's the 8th, LAFC officially waived Rodrigo Pacheco.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. Oh, I thought for sure we were going to get crickets instead of that.
No, the womp womp was good. All right, hold on.
So,
that was the original sponsor of Defenders.
That's right. Who is Rodrigo Pacheco, you may ask? He was the first player ever to appear in an official LAFC game to be waived. The fourth signing in team history, Rodrigo Pacheco was waived. And Philly, that is this day in LAFC history. Let's get into a few news and notes. Philly, we hadn't touched on this on the pod yet because of the abbreviated format of our last two episodes, but the Black and Gold have signed their fourth homegrown player in team history, who incidentally played with the Lights today. And we'll talk about that in just a quick second. Nathan, there you go. Nathan Ordaz. I posted about this on Facebook in February. I've been following Ordaz for quite some time now. That's right. I actually predicted that he would be next as a homegrown signing, and by golly, Scarf Stradamus is right. You know, 60% of the time it works every time,
pick,
whatever it is.
Pick better lottery numbers.
I know. Ordaz is a super skilled forward and striker, and he has been starring for the Academy now for a while. He's actually already scored Philly a goal for LAFC during the Toronto preseason match, which is pretty awesome. And he's got three national teams fighting for his services. Of course, the U.S. men's national team, El Tri, and El Salvador's national team. And he was actually called into the senior team for El Salvador earlier in the year. Congrats to Nathan on signing his LAFC contract.
You get a high five Josh Perez if he goes to El Salvador.
Right? And for his subsequent loan to the Lights for the rest of the season, he did play there today. Philly, I'm real excited because MLS versus Liga MX is set for round two.
Yep. In Minnesota, baby, the All-Star Game. If you remember, we had one epic All-Star Game here in Bank of California Stadium, a match that ended up in penalty kicks. We did see a couple of LAFC guys score. Unfortunately, Edward Atuesta, actually, did he convert? I don't think he converted.
He did not.
Yeah, but it was Murray who scored in that game, so that was kind of cool. So, round two is going to be held in Minnesota United at the Wonderwall, Allianz Stadium. Both leagues recently confirmed that matchup again, and, you know, it should be as loud there as it was with the 32-52 last season. That's a stadium that I really want to see, but I don't want to go anywhere near Minnesota anytime. July and August, I want to go anytime before or after that. No way, but that's pretty cool. The Wonderwall gets to host this All-Star game, and, man, it was so much fun last year. You got to rub elbows with Don Garber, but the day before, Scarf, we were at the Coliseum.
Yep.
We got to hang out with Jaime Camille. We got to meet the kid from Cobra Kai.
Gregory Siff, the incredible artist that designed all kinds of cool stuff, too.
Carlos Bocanegra, we got to hang out with
him.
We got to chill with the man whose face is plastered in every pocket of L.A. Of course, the team sponsor, the injury attorney himself, called Jacob.
Oh, my goodness.
And Ronnie. That was fun.
That's not at all how it goes.
No, like
you're the only person that has ever gotten that wrong. That was pretty great. Oh my goodness.
Well, then clearly the jingle didn't work.
Call Jacob. That's it. And that's it.
Call Jacob. All right. It's not as catchy as the 1-877 cars for kids.
And that's where everybody just turned off this episode. My goodness. Real quick, the team of the week for week 9. Congratulations to Steve Cherundolo, named as the coach of the team of the week last week there in week 9, and to Cheeky for making the bench. And Philly, if there's one thing you and I are known for throughout the LAFC community, it's our prowess in FIFA.
Oh, yes, clearly, because you and I are gamers extraordinaire.
Watch out,
Remy Martin. Watch out, Panda, the virtual one,
right?
Not my Panda. We're coming at you, and dude, for those of you that actually really do play FIFA, because Scarf and I aren't those ones, this announcement may come a little too late, because depending on when you listen to this episode...
The card may already be gone by the time you listen to this episode.
A new 90-rated Carlos Vela card is available as a squad-building challenge. Now, you need to play with an 84-rated squad with a team chemistry of 70 and no special teams to unlock the card, but... enjoy.
I'm not going to lie. That's pretty much Greek to me. I have no idea. I'm terrible at FIFA. I went to the first ever qualifier that was held up in Free Play.
Oh, I was there with you.
Yeah, you
Alex
were there
Sale
too.
Alex Sale did that.
Alex Sale. By the way, Alex, we miss you, buddy. You mentioned Remy Martin. He was playing for Atlanta in some tournament just recently.
I thought he was with the Houston Dynamo.
I don't even.
But we got a guy named Panda.
We got a guy named Panda.
Unfortunately,
Savvy Panda, right, is his name?
Yeah,
Savvy,
but unfortunately, Panda. There's only... Well, I mean, there are a couple of pandas.
He's the
I know of another panda.
Most important panda in your life, for sure. And mine, too, for that matter. Look, we're awful at FIFA, is the thing. Congrats to several LAFC Academy players who were recently called into the U.S. men's under-19 camp from April 22nd to May 1st. This included defenders Tyler Binden and Carlos Diaz, midfielder Brian Moyado, and forward Alex Unsukop. Hope I pronounced that one right. Props also goes to Tino Arteaga, as he was just one of two MLS products called in Mexico's recent U16 camp. The youth are taking over again. The LAFC Academy just producing all kinds of great results, great athletes, great people. So that's fun. Another player that I know played in the LAFC Academy for a little bit, Philly, getting his second sponsorship deal at just, what, 18 years old now?
You'd have to tell me what the first is, though.
It was called Boa. It's like some energy drink or nutrient thing. I don't remember what it was, but this one is his second already.
Yeah, Stater Brothers. You don't have to tell me what they do.
Stater Brothers, it's a grocery store.
Ah, cool. Yeah.
Don't tell guys, dude, didn't hear that. Don't worry.
No. So yeah, there's a partnership now with both LAFC and Christian Torres to be a spokesperson for an upcoming advertising campaign. Like you said, the second deal in which Christian Torres has landed. That's pretty darn cool. Between a salary, Stater Brothers and
Boa. I think it's Boa is the
Boa,
name.
Boa, like the constrictor?
Yeah, like it is pronounced or spelled BOA. It's I think it's some sort of nutrient. I don't know. I'm butchering it. But he's got two sponsorship deals.
Well, where's your sponsorship deal?
I don't have one.
But I'm a brand ambassador.
You are for Chill.
Chill.com, baby, a CBD company out of Colorado. Y'all need to chill. Y'all need to talk to Phil E.
Okay. I just want to mention one thing real quick about Stater Brothers. Nina is lucky enough, her family has a place up in Lake Arrowhead and the grocery store up in the village in Lake Arrowhead.
That's it. We bought alcohol there.
There, yeah. Stater Brothers.
They've taken my money.
They have the best bacon around because they have butchers and they do their own butchering of bacon in store. Nice. And so we like the bacon. Lastly, during AAPI Heritage Month, we just thought it would be appropriate to remind one Kevin Baxter of the Los Angeles Times that the invitation to join us on the podcast remains open and unanswered to address your insensitive tweet regarding Kim Moon Won. We are eagerly awaiting a response more than 2 months later. All right.
That's 60 days.
So here's the idea. We were going to do this whole thing where we were talking about former players, right? And I had this really cool idea all because of what I was reading when I did the Las Vegas Lights update. So Philly, the real reason why this whole segment came about was actually due to the Las Vegas Lights, who lost today 1-0 to USL expansion side Monterey Bay FC, whose bench included, among others, James Murphy, an original member of LAFC who made his only appearance for the Black and Gold that year in the Borussia Dortmund friendly.
Wait, isn't Monterey, didn't they take over for Fresno?
It's very possible.
I think Monterey is a result of Fresno's being dissolved.
Somos Zorros. That was, that was the team. But you know what? I'll save. We have Marco Arena teed up. We have Mohamed Elmanir teed up. We have Josh Perez teed up. But I'm going to play favorites, Philly. We're just going to do one today. We'll do one.
Oh,
all right? We'll do one.
Oh,
and it's got to be the great one, number 99, the player who I miss more than any other in black and gold. Look, let's check in real quick on one of our all-time favorites, the very special interview guest on episode 99, Adama Diomande. Philly, he is currently playing in the Stars League, which is not an overweight guys softball league out in Hollywood.
Artie Lang?
No, it is the first division league in Qatar. And the winter signing, Adama Diomande, has 7 goals and 2 assists across all competitions for Al Arabi SC. And I know, Philly, you and I both very much miss Adama Diomande.
I mean, that goes without saying. And if you want to hear about his story, again, we're almost at episode 200. But if you go back in time, episode 99, which was recorded during the pandemic.
Bring back the time.
Hey, shout out New Kids on the Block, baby. Boy bands galore.
We
up
know
in
you guys
mother.
Listen. Thank you for supporting our podcast. 90,
I made contact with 98 Degrees.
Oh, geez. That's not New Kids on the Block, though.
And then Trevor Panic is part of O-Town, and he does the Ontario Fury song.
There's just so many things happening right now. If you guys had New Kids on the Block, 98 Degrees, or O-Town on your Defenders bingo cards,
you may
leave the room.
Yeah, we're 24 minutes in, and we've spoken a lot about nothing. But
this
anyway, episode 99 of Defenders of the Bank, great interview with Adama Diomande, arguably, other than Eddie Segura and Benny Failhaber, and I guess you could say Stephen Betashore, are one of our most high-profile interviews.
Love how you got
and Max Brados and Larry Friedman and Rod Diaz from
Korn.
He got
knocked down from like first to seventh all of a sudden, just like that.
No, I'm just saying like we've had a lot of cool interviews.
Oh, we absolutely have.
We need to do more, though.
Let's do more. Look, I don't want to step on the toes of the Angel City Chicks, by the way. But a real quick Angel City minute. ACFC play their second NWSL match and second home match in club history tomorrow on Mother's Day, May 8th, against the Orlando Pride. And what's exciting about that, Philly, is that Marta makes her Los Angeles debut after playing down the road in Carson for the former Los Angeles Soul in 2009, their only season in the WPS. Very excited to see Marta and all of the other women for the Orlando Pride. More excited, though, to see, I'll say the Kristen Press-led, just because she's their most famous player, but we have become big favorites of several others on the team there in Angel City.
I would agree, and that's going to be a podcast to come out, I believe, on Monday. So keep your eyes and ears in tune for Angel City Chicks, and make sure you head up to 110 and check out the show Angels Wear Boots. There is an all-star cast of ladies on that, including one Amanda Filliman, one Nina Kiefer, yep, the Angel City Chicks. We got Jessica Black in the house, Megan Reyes. We got Lauren Sesselman, Sarah Gordon. I mean, a lot of
yeah,
talent.
Yeah, Angel City player Sarah Gordon, who unfortunately out for the year, who she blew out her knee.
And Jen Munoz, by the way.
And Jen Munoz, yeah. So a great cast over at Angels Wear Boots. Philly, we did it. We're only 25 minutes and 30 seconds in or so to this podcast. It is time to get to the breakdown of the match. Philly, let's go all the way back. All the way back to pre-pandemic March 8th, 2020. The very last match that LAFC would play before the world changed forever, at least here in North America. It was a 3-3 draw. The final LAFC match played pre-pandemic. Philly, a lot of people call it one of, if not the greatest regular season match in Major League Soccer history. It was an incredible draw, a rocket from Jacob Glesnes, the debut of Jose Martinez, and goals from Carlos Vela, Diego Rossi, and I believe Eddie Segura was the third goal scorer in that match. I mean, it was just a haymaker-laden affair, and no team, again, this might be a theme moving forward, no team able to take the victory. It was a huge 3-3 draw, Philly. What do you remember about that game? I mean, that was the last sporting event we went to pre-pandemic.
I mean, without a doubt, it was an exciting matchup. Obviously, it didn't end in our favor the way we would have expected it. We anticipated a bleed over from 2019. We would have thought that LAFC would have come in with a chip on their shoulder. And we didn't think much, or we didn't think very highly of the Philadelphia Union. And that's where we had a problem, because after that 3-3 draw, obviously, the world went to hell in a handbasket. We don't need to like reiterate yep. that stress. But that was kind of a launch pad and a launching point for the Philadelphia Union. Because if you recall, in that shortened COVID 2020 season, they ended up taking the supporter shield from us. And then the year after that, they end up advancing all the way to the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. This is a team that was also one game away from the MLS final. If they didn't get raptured by COVID, there's a really good possibility they could have knocked out NYCFC and faced Portland, and they may have been the team from the East hoisting the MLS title. But, you know, mark our words, they certainly turned things around, and they really, really utilized that LAFC game as that launching pad. It was such a confidence builder yeah. for Jim Curtin and company.
Yeah, you just mentioned his name. They have one of the best coaches in Major League Soccer in Jim Curtin, the former 2004 Major League Soccer All-Star and the 2020 Siggy Schmid MLS Coach of the Year Award winner. He's led Philly to not one, not two, but three runners-up appearances in the Open Cup. And, of course, as you mentioned, the 2020 Supporters Shield. This is a team, though, Philly. I think you mentioned it. They hadn't won a match, what, since April 8th?
It was April 9th, the last time they won a match. I mean, they're, and obviously, you know, spoiler alert, we tied them. If you're listening to this podcast, you obviously know that as well. But to me, they're really starting to turn into last season's Nashville. Nashville accomplished things really well, but a lot of what they did was through ties. 5-1-4 is now the record of the Philadelphia Union. And despite not having won a game since April 9th, they still maintained possession of first place in the East.
Yep.
Now, is the East that bad? Or are the Union that good?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think the East is a little bit deeper than people give it credit for. But that being said, Philly, let's get right into the breakdown of the match. Look, depending on who you talk to, maybe Philadelphia came out in a 4-4-2, or maybe as MLS Soccer, soccer.com likes to put it, a 4-1-2-1-2, which I thought was just the zip code for some obscure city in Philadelphia, some obscure city in Pennsylvania, I should say. But look, they came out with a very potent lineup. This is one of the most talent-laden rosters in all of Major League Soccer, beginning with their man in goal, who certainly showed his worth today, the Jamaican national team keeper. And if I remember correctly, I think he's the highest paid keeper in Major League Soccer, one Andre Blake.
Yeah, kid can play.
He is very, very, very good. Nathan Harriel, Jacob Glesnes, Jack Elliott, and Kai Wagner, who round out the back line. And again, Jacob Glesnes, the rocket of a goal. If you haven't had a chance to go back and look at that goal from March 8th, 2020, an absolute rocket of a goal for Jacob Glesnes. Jose Martinez, their number six, one of the best players at what he does in Major League Soccer, but also watch out for those ankles because he'll give you a two-footed tackle real quick as well. Alejandro Bedoya, who is fast moving up my list of players that aren't my favorite ever. Leon Flatch. Leon Flatch. Daniel Gazdag, Julian Carranza, and Corey Burke to round out the starting 11 in the 18, though we did see a couple of players from the 18, including Sergio Santos, who would receive a yellow card. The big name I was hoping to see, Philly, and you and I talked about him a little bit before, was Paxton Aaronson, the younger brother of U.S. men's national team and current RB Salzburg midfielder Brendan Aaronson. The kid is supposed to be real good, real young, and real talented, but he hasn't gotten a lot of real minutes in Major League Soccer this season, so too bad we didn't get to see Paxton. Philly, what about the lineup for one black and gold LAFC?
Real quick, I just want to talk a little bit about Julian Carranza because he was my player to watch.
He was.
Now, this is a kid who now he's 21 years old from Argentina. He's been in the league. This is his third season. He started the first two seasons with Inter Miami, a dumpster fire of a team, and he was a kid that basically collected no statistics scarf. In eight games with the Philadelphia Union, he became their second leading scorer with 3 goals and 2 assists. Kid has done exceptionally well. He's had articles written about him as far as like one of the top young players to watch in Major League Soccer. And quite honestly, he didn't disappoint today at all. We'll talk more about that. But Julian Carranza, if you're a fantasy MLS player, keep your eyes on this kid. But if you're a fan of the game, keep your eyes on this kid. Again, 21-year-old Argentine, fantastic player. As far as the starting line for LAFC is concerned, there is no question who's going to be starting. Actually, be very curious to see who's going to be starting against Portland because John McCarthy got the last U.S. Open Cup start, but one Maxime Crippot. We had Franco Escobar, who had himself a pretty good game. Mamadou Fall, Cheeky Palacios, who, if you listen to Vince LaRosa and 110 Football, you would have heard Steve Cherundolo say he's never seen a better outside back in this league than Cheeky Palacios. Listen to that man's words. Sebastian Ibiaga. We had Ilya Sanchez, Jose Cifuentes, Kellen Acosta, Chicho Arango, Mahala, Quadwo, Poku himself, and of course, El Capitan Carlos Vela rounding out the starting lineup for your black and gold.
Yeah, look, this was billed as a heavyweight title fight. Best in the East versus best in the West and best in Major League Soccer. And Philly, it's safe to say it lived up to the hype. I can't stand those stupid blue and yellow kits.
Really? I like them.
I know. You and I are absolutely on the other end of the spectrum. They look like a carnival sideshow playing in those kits. The Artisano sponsor on the front, you can barely see it because the kits are so stupidly busy. I don't like them, Philly.
I mean, I like busy and I like color.
Yeah. You know what? I get it. For the people out there that like it, I see what you're seeing. I'm just not drinking that Kool-Aid. Sorry. In the first minute already, an early ball through the box by Cheeky, but corralled by Andre Blake. Andre Blake getting a touch early. That's normally not a good sign for their opponents, as Andre Blake, if he can get a hot hand, is as good as it gets. And in the third minute, look, the first sort of attempt for Philly.
Not you.
I thought, you know, LAFC really controlled portions of this match. And you, by the way, I want to say this on 110 Football, the pregame, you predicted at least 7 corners for LAFC. What happened was in the 6th minute, they got a corner, in the 7th minute, they got a corner, in the 8th minute, they got a corner, in the 8th minute again, they got another corner. But unfortunately, Philly, even though LAFC playing downhill, dominating possession, creating a couple different chances, but it all unraveled quickly for LAFC there in the 9th minute.
Yeah, I mean, you had a great situation where the Philadelphia Union caught LAFC on a counter, and you had a great pass in from number 27, Kai Wagner, connecting with the leading scorer of this team, Daniel Gosdag, punching in his fifth goal of the season, getting it past Maxime Crippo. And these are things that you wanted to avoid with the Philadelphia Union. This is a team that was going to press and that was going to fluster and beat up on LAFC. Also, one of the best, if not the best, set-piece teams, although we didn't give them many opportunities in that sense. So at least Steve Cherundolo played the textbook there. But either way, and I think a couple of us, I know, but for a fact, I said that this was going to be a slugfest. But it wasn't surprising to me that the Philadelphia Union were the first team to score. I'm just a little surprised that it happened as quickly as it did and off of the counter that happened. But props to Kai Wagner. Props to Daniel Gosdag. He can score, fifth goal of the season. Philadelphia Union off to the races.
Yeah, look, this is not something that I feel like is sustainable for LAFC. I would really like us to stop either going down a goal or maybe even two in the first half. It's a frustrating way that we've started our season. We're now, 10, 11 games in, and here we are. Slow starts dooming LAFC over and over again. The only question would be, could LAFC bounce back? And I'll say this. I was really surprised. Philadelphia normally likes to press and turn you over and go on the counter real quick, but it was LAFC playing a much higher press. I really thought that was good. A lot of fouls, by the way. A lot of fouls by Philadelphia in the first 20 minutes of this match. I do want to say, the former NYCFC, the cup winner from last year, Sebastian Ibiaga, who got the start because both Daniil Henry and Jesus David Murillo were out with injury. And, of course, Eddie Segura is still out as well as center back. So, really, you're looking at our four-string center back in that position. He made an incredible tackle in the 15th minute that, I mean, look, it could have gone for a penalty. It could have gone for a bunch of different things. But I was really happy that Sebastian Ibiaga able to make that tackle. It was just kind of a back and forth affair. In the 20th minute, though, Philly, another corner for LAFC, and Philadelphia got lucky on a deflection. Rough luck from LAFC so far. The shot deflected, and one player's head was right there in the perfect spot. LAFC coming up empty through the first 20 minutes, but really putting a lot of chances into the box.
Yep, 29th minute, Carlos Vela trying to find Cheeky. Wouldn't have made it. If Fall wasn't there, there was a pass that happened. It was LAFC on the counter. He got the ball in the box. Second later, Cheeky with nothing happened there, but I wanted to credit Fall for hustling. Cheeky with a cross that led to a header by Chicho Arango, but Chicho heading the ball into the hands of Andre Blake. And, thinking Chicho might be a little frustrated at this point. Like he got hot relatively quickly upon getting back into the starting lineup, but I feel like he might have regressed a little bit. Not sure if he, he's going to get himself out of his scoring slump, but he tried to head one in past Andre Blake. It went right to him. Nothing going on right there. 2 minutes later, your boy, not too long later, 2 minutes, Jose Martinez with a shot outside of the box.
I did mention I wanted to see him play on the 110. That's why he says he's my boy, because he is one of the most exciting players in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, he's a good player. 42nd minute, we had a couple of pops in the box, but no gems, just rocks. Andre Blake was there for everything. LAFC had their greatest sequence of opportunities right there. Nothing going on. A minute later, corner, there was a smart play by Escobar. Vela came really close with connecting to Chicho, but he just heads it out of the way, and whistle blows, folks. Halftime, it's the Union up 1-0, and if we break down the stats, it was all LAFC. 12 shots to the Union's 5. We had 2 on target to their 1. Obviously, the one that mattered was the goal that was scored, but possession, LAFC absolutely dominated. 65% possession. They were moving the ball much better in terms of passing accuracy, but interestingly enough, and we talked about it on 110 going into the half, 7 corners for LAFC, 7 set pieces,
0
to the Union's goose egg.
Yeah, look, this is the thing though, right? This is something that Vince LaRosa preaches, and this is something that Jim Curtin is fine with. Philadelphia lost the battle of possession by a very, very significant amount, and they were fine with it. They were leading 1-0. We were playing right into their hands. I do want to mention that, to me, some of the greatest plays in the first half came off of the passing from the back line to the front line, not through the midfield to the front line, from Mamadou Fall to Carlos Vela, especially on the wings and especially right there at the end of the first half. I think one of the most underrated aspects of Mamadou Fall's game is his long distance passing. He had some absolute dimes in this match. And when you go back to rewatch this match, watch the passing off the back line from Mamadou Fall. This kid, this is one of those special attributes. Philly, I was up in Founders Club grabbing a quick beverage, saying hi to a couple of people. I got back to my seat a few minutes late. But I got to tell you, I think I got back to my seat at just the right time because I sat next to Nina. We were talking for a quick second. And in the 57th minute, Mahala announcing his presence with authority. Talk about putting the ball into the back of the net. What I love about this kid is that when he is close, when he is in the box, he is going to fire that ball away and to the right of Andre Blake with pace in the upper quadrant, I would say, of the goal. An absolutely beautiful goal. And is there a player in Major League Soccer who is more outwardly happy than Mahala is when he scores? He gave a high five to one of the ball kids as he was celebrating. I mean, Mahala would have gone around and hugged every single one of the 22,000 people at Banc of California Stadium today if he could have after that goal. I just love this kid. His enthusiasm and his energy are infectious, and I'm so happy that this kid was able to put one in the back of the net to equalize it at one.
Yeah, you got to give a credit to Chicho. Chicho had a great pass to Jose Cifuentes. Yep. Sifu connects with Mahala. And again, if you go back to the story, if you go back to follow like his journey throughout LAFC, I mean, he was a trialist in 2020. Scarf and I got a chance to see him in a couple of exhibition matches. We mistook him for NYCFC's Kwadwo Poku, who was a much bigger player.
Same name, just not an O at the start of the last name. It's Kwadwo Opoku against Kwadwo Poku.
Yeah, last I heard, Kwadwo Poku was playing in Gibraltar. I'm not sure if that's still the case, but Kwadwo Opoku, I don't know whether or not he made the team, but we ended up falling into pandemic. And obviously, you know, nobody could travel at that point, but the team started practicing. The kid was doing his thing. And I'll never forget the video that LAFC unveiled with him getting shown that he was signing a contract, which the look on his face is just so endearing. But the right. fact that everybody on the team was so beyond thrilled to have Mahala be a part and sign his professional contract with LAFC. And this is a kid who probably made, what, $60,000 within his first year,
yeah.
Got himself a raise. And now, I mean, if you follow the transfer market stuff, I mean, the kid's valued at almost $250,000. He didn't make the team. And now, as a result of his prowess, he scored 3 goals on the season and he plays like a veteran. He's 19, but he plays like he's been with this club forever. I love this young man. I love his enthusiasm. They make really good players out of Accra, Ghana. Same hometown as Latif Blessing, by the way. I love Opoku. All of a sudden, we are tied. Mahala at your boy.
Okay, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Kwadwo Poku currently without a team, although you are correct. The last team he played for was Europa FC in Gibraltar.
Fascinating.
So that's, yeah, you know.
Wonder how many teams there are in Gibraltar. Isn't there just a rock there?
There's also a rock in Gibraltar. Philly, we almost went up 2-1 just after we equalized in the 57th. In the 59th minute, another corner for LAFC and Mamadou Fall putting a header well over the bar. If he could get anything down, that would be great. In the 63rd minute, I had to make sure that I put this in the notes. Carlos Vela won an aerial ball. He won a ball in the air, which actually means he attempted to go for a ball in the air. He doesn't normally love to do those. And off the win, we'll call it an ambitious effort from Chicho. From long range, I felt like from Marv Albert there from way downtown, and it was not good. He did not go anywhere.
I love
close.
How you refer to it as an ambitious effort. It's such a nice way of saying right. that your shot sucked.
Yeah, it was not a good decision. It was an I just think of what's the guy in from Ted Lasso, the Arlo White, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those kind of things, right?
Like an ambitious shot by the young man.
An ambitious effort by Chicho Arango.
Ambitious from the young man.
I don't know where that accent came from. For any of you trying to figure out what country my accent was just from.
Jersey.
Narnia. I don't even know. It was terrible.
There's a witch there you got to watch out for.
So, Philly, in the 67th minute.
And don't listen to that Mr. Tumnus
no,
guy
Mr.
either.
Mr. Tumnus is trouble. For the in the nerd alert, in the 67th minute, Lightning finally struck against LAFC in the second half for the first time all season. And look, for all of you stat heads out there, somebody please find us the stat, because we don't have it right now as we're recording this at 1:16 in the morning.
Jesus.
On Mother's Day. We don't have the stat, but the first second half goal LAFC concedes all season in MLS regular season play. Yes, we know we conceded one to the kids from the Orange Curtain, but in MLS regular season play, this is the first goal that we have given up in the second half, and it's your guy, Philly, with, I think, Maxime Crepeau was expecting the fastball, and what he got from Julian Carranza was the knuckle curve.
Dude, it really was a knuckle curve. I mean, Carranza blasted one, and it had such a beautiful bend to it. It would make your boy David Beckham blush. It was such a nice goal, and again, this just goes to show you that this kid can play. Clearly, Inter Miami had no clue what was going on, and shame on Phil Neville and the rest of his crew for letting this young man go. What a steal for the Philadelphia Union. He puts in his fourth goal of the season, and it was arguably, I mean, it's got to be the goal of the week as far as I'm concerned. I didn't get a chance to see a lot of the other ones, but that's clearly got to be a goal of the week candidate.
I'm just saying, maybe they accidentally thought in Miami he was one of their like five or six DPs they had to release at some point. That's all
I heard. It was more like eight or nine.
Yeah, that's all I can think about. It was kind of a bummer, right?
Inter Miami, we messed up,
right?
There's your jingle.
That's jingles by Philly, everybody. There you go. If you had Philly singing a jingle on your Defenders of the Bank bingo card, mark that one off. In the 73rd minute, look. He's pushed all the right buttons all season, so you and I for sure thought that with Moose and Latif coming into the match for Ilie and Mahala, that, you know, all right, this would be it. We're finding an equalizer here late. It's going to come off of either Latif or Moose. In the 75th minute, Philly started laying down on the pitch a whole bunch. And I was
the team, not me.
Yeah, right.
Just making sure you're aware of this, because it's confusing me too.
I was kind of bummed in the 77th minute that Jose Martinez comes off. But anytime you take a player of that caliber off the pitch, then there you go. In the 79th minute, though, Philly, boy, did we dodge a bullet in the 79th minute. If not for incredible individual defending by one Mamadou Fall, the 19-year-old, and also just a boneheaded decision not to make that cross like one or two touches before, Philly should really have been up, not you, the team. Philly should have been up 3-1 going into the 80th minute.
Oh, but you can argue that LAFC should have tied it with Escobar's header in the 78th.
I completely agree. Escobar skying the header just a little bit. But Philly, in the 80th minute, that's when I felt LAFC said, hey, you guys remember that whole 80th minute hex? Well, 80th minute hex be damned.
Yeah,
LAFC,
they're changing it to an 80th minute flex.
Oh, look what you
did. Shout out to the power tools.
I love it. Taylor, Shane, Joe, everybody there. Hi. That being said, Philly, I really did feel like in the 80th minute, the entire tenor of the game changed.
Absolutely. And one area where we obviously had a lot of opportunities in set pieces. And we're talking about corners. Escobar went to Moose, went to Chicho. Nothing happened there, but we ended up getting another corner shortly thereafter. Carlos Vela connects. Jose Cifuentes, he was wide open. I remember telling Panda, and Panda can vouch for me if she wasn't snoring and drooling in her bed, or our bed, rather. I was just like, watch Sifu. Sifu was wide open.
Why you gotta tell everybody she's drooling?
I mean, she drools when she's passed out and snores. Boy. She yells at me for snoring. That girl snores too.
I feel like Morgan Freeman. And that was the last time Philly was able to sleep in his own bed. I don't think that was a half bad Morgan Freeman.
No.
But for all of you that actually can do an impression, I apologize. It's the best I got.
But anyway, I was telling Panda, look, Jose Cifuentes is completely wide open. And so Vela takes his position on the corner, flexes that sucker. Sifu gets a crack at it. He shoots it. That ball gets saved by Andre Blake, but it ricochets, comes off to Franco Escobar, who gets rewarded for his prowess. Yep. He had the near opportunity four minutes earlier, that great defensive play, but Franco Escobar becoming the 13th player on LAFC to register a goal this season. Thank the heavens for Franco Escobar, who, as we learned from Jordan Harvey when we were at that little event at Banc of California Stadium with him and Will Kuntz, it wasn't Maxime Crépeau. It wasn't Ilya Sanchez. Jordan Harvey was by far the most excited by the Franco Escobar signing, and he made Jordan Harvey a prophet because Franco Escobar played his best game in the black and gold as a member of the black and gold, and he punches in his first goal of the season. We're tied at two. Thank God.
Shout out to at Imad Shoots, Imad Bolotok, the incredible, incredible photographer for LAFC, because that moment you're mentioning 3 minutes earlier, where Franco Escobar had one saved, there is an incredible picture of the anguish and frustration that Escobar was feeling, shot by Imad. So just,
he did like a yoga position.
If I was in that position, by the way, I'd still be there on the turf. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, you'd be.
Paul
you'd be,
would literally have had to get out like a large shovel mowed to scoop me up. I mean, it was, oh my God. Look, the last little bit of the match. Let's be real. There are two things that everyone is going to take away from the last five minutes or so. A third one, though, that I took away, I think in the 88th minute, Moose hit Chicho right in the junk with that ball. I'm just saying, if you go back and watch Chicho literally reboots the whole system in like 30 seconds. And that was the second junk shot, by the way, that I saw during the match. A guy on Philly had one, too, earlier. Not Philly.
Not me.
Yeah, right.
Again, see how confusing it is?
I know. We did have Pancho come in for Sifu right after the junk ball that Moose hit. But Philly, look.
Me or the team?
You. Every match, I look over at Nina and I say, all right, babe, all I want to do is see a bicycle kick today. Almost every match I say that to her. I want to see a bicycle kick today.
He wants to watch a bicycle.
I almost peed. Like, literally one of the coolest.
Why, Philly, that's the next zone defenders.
Philly, I am 20 years older. You are 22 years older than one Mamadou Fall.
Yeah, why you got to tell everybody?
I'm saying that because if you and I, first of all, not that we have any soccer talent whatsoever, but
zero.
If you and I,
not even good at FIFA,
saw a ball, we are not. If you and I saw a ball in the air and knew, okay, I'm gonna attempt a bicycle kick.
Well, you and I would try to catch it because that's more up our speed. I got it,
Philly. It would we? First of all, he's what, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4"? I don't even know how tall Mamadou Fall is. He's tall. Is what I'm saying. You and I, maybe you on my shoulders and then somehow we're able to flip around. We're not coming close to making contact with that ball. What Mamadou Fall did, it was the most beautiful thing. There's a small tear in my left eye right now. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And then Jacob.
Because you're still thinking about Chicho getting hit in the junk.
I was. Jacob Glessness, I believe it was, on the back line. Philly, what the hell would have happened at Banc of California Stadium if Mamadou Fall converts that bicycle kick?
I mean, that would have been one of those situations where if anybody from the 32-52 would have rushed the field, nobody would have cared. It would have been a glorious, exclamation point to a hard-fought game. And at that point, had that happened, I would have won our parlay bet.
You would have.
I mean, we had over 2.5
yep.
on goals. Yep. I had more than 9.5 on corners. Yep. All I needed was a 3-2 LAFC win. Look, that came exceptionally close.
Cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. It would have been the, and I was there. I was what, on the opposite side of the pitch watching Zlatan score that goal, which is still, I don't care what anybody wants to say.
This chair sucks, by the way. Sorry if you hear all the squeaking.
Yeah, what's going on with your chair, buddy? The Zlatan goal is still the most impressive goal I've ever seen live, right, in person. That would have topped it. That would have been the coolest thing I would have ever seen. Mamadou Fall, you are just fast becoming. Look, it takes a lot to get into my like top three or four all time with LAFC. This 19-year-old kid, I will follow you wherever you go, kid. I am. It's weird for me as a teacher to say this, but like, is it possible that I could be fanboying a little bit over Mamadou Fall, the 19-year-old? I just think this kid is amazing. I think that, was it Matt Doyle and Tom Bogert, I think, are the two that wrote the article on the 22 under 22 that they're going to release in just a little bit. And they say it's pretty much Gaga Slonina and Mamadou Fall and everybody else in Major League Soccer. I think Mamadou might have passed Gaga Slonina today, considering what Atlanta United did to Slonina in Chicago, the 4-1 throttling that they gave Gaga. Mamadou Fall, you're my favorite player of the season, man.
I mean, the kid's a rock star. Sky's the limit potential. We'll see how much longer LAFC has to hold. Obviously, we have the ability to bring up players and sell players. Oh, but, I mean, his value's got to be skyrocketing.
We're
going
to get a lot of money for him.
And through the roof. Yeah, we'd hope so.
And Philly, last minute of the game, I feel like that's like built for one Christian Philly Philemon, the way that Philly and LAFC, not you, but the team, kind of handled their last minute of play there. There were just a bunch of fights.
Yeah, no, it got chippy. It got really chippy. And I think that's pretty much the exclamation point as to why you hate Alejandro Bedoya. An awful lot of tomfoolery, a bit of like rubbishness, but gotta love the fire and the passion and the competitiveness. The whistle ends up blowing. We end up going into a draw.
Yeah.
But I think it's so ridiculous that at that point, the ref's handing out yellow cards to people. It's like, you blew the whistle probably a little earlier because I think it was, 14 seconds into the fourth minute. They didn't waste any time.
Right.
I feel like we could at least like scoot it out another 25, 30 seconds out of that. But the game ends. A team from Philly fighting. I mean, that's not a surprise right there.
They booed Santa Claus.
They booed, and they'll argue, but that was so long ago. Yeah, whatever.
They still did it.
You booed Santa, and you threw snowballs at him with batteries in it.
And if they don't get
you
fined,
don't forget stuff like
for
that.
Mass confrontation after the game. That was the very definition.
Seriously.
Look, if Steve Cherundolo,
what even in the hell is mass confrontation?
It's what we saw out there as all the different players rushed the AR, that poor woman on the one side, and then they rushed the fourth official. They told him where they were all going to have dinner afterwards and Merry Christmas and all that other fun stuff. It was just so ridiculous. But look, that being said, Philly, your take on the match we heard on the 110 Football post-game show, but who is your man of the match?
I mean, my man of the match, I got to say Opoku, because Opoku made things happen. He had a near attempt in the first half. Again, the kid he's coming out of nowhere, coming into his zone, having big shoes to fill in. I mean, we were in an elevator with him today, riding down with Brian Rodriguez.
Yep.
Every time that Mahala steps on the pitch, it's got to make Brian nervous, because Brian's going to fall behind this kid. Brian's a very talented player, but Opoku, who is earning a lot less than Brian is making such a massive impact, and he's not afraid to take the big shot in the big moment. Had he not connected to set us up on the right trajectory, this game would have gone completely haywire for LAFC, despite the fact that they absolutely dominated Philadelphia in terms of possession. But if it wasn't for Mahala scoring the first goal of the game, it wouldn't have led to any other opportunity. So I feel that Mahala gets my nod for player of the game.
Look, it's hard to argue with a kid who scores again as a starter for LAFC, a kid who I don't think a lot of people thought would get any actual burn. But that being said, look, everyone's going to think I'm going to go with Mamadou Fall, but I'm not actually on this one. I'm going to go with the player who actually got man of the match from LAFC. You know who that was, Philly?
Yeah.
Number two, Franco Escobar. As much as I love our second leading scorer on the team, Ryan Hollingshead, and his three goals, I think this was the match, Philly, where we saw Franco Escobar close the door on the starting spot for MLS regular season games for that right back position. I think Franco Escobar did it. I think Franco Escobar now, the spot is his for the rest of the year. Ryan Hollingshead will 1,000% start in that Open Cup match in a couple of days against Portland. I'm calling it right now. It'll be Ryan Hollingshead starting somewhere on the back line. But I think Franco Escobar, all of my friends who are Atlanta United fans are so bummed still that they no longer have Franco Escobar. So he's my man of the match. Philly, we got one big game to watch tomorrow with Carson and Austin, because that could still affect the standings. We might not be able to say best in the West and best in MLS if Austin can take all 3 points from Carson. But that being said, Philly, we are number one in the West right now on 23 points. I do have kind of a fun stat, too. You ready for this?
Yep.
You mentioned we have how many different goal scorers this year?
13.
There are 14 teams in the West right now. So you take LAFC out, 13 other teams in the West. Of those 13 teams, how many have even scored 13 goals on the season of those other 13 teams?
Oh, geez. Without even looking, I don't know, three?
That's exactly the right answer, my friend. Hey, three teams.
I'm good. I swear to God, he didn't look. I wasn't looking.
I'm sitting right next to him. He did not look. Only three teams have even scored 13 goals on the season, let alone had 13 different players score. I love this team so much. Philly, you mentioned it. We have a whole poop ton of games happening in the month of May. We are in the midst of the truest and biggest and worst and hardest and roughest and toughest test of the season.
You get the point.
For LAFC. What I mean is it's hard, guys. Five. Yes, five matches in 15 days, including this 2-2 draw. In just 3 days. So Sunday and then Monday and then Tuesday, we take on Portland in the Open Cup match at the bank. 4 days later, we go to beautiful Commerce City, Colorado, take on Mark Anthony K, Stephen Betashore, and one of my former favorite players, Jossie Zardes, in the Colorado Rapids. 4 days after that, we take part in a top-of-the-table clash with Austin at Bank of California Stadium. 3 days after that, we take on Jossie's former squad, the Columbus Crew, in Columbus. And then at least we get a full week off before throttling San Jose at Bank of California Stadium on May 28th. But what a gauntlet, Philly. Five matches in 15 days, including this one.
That's a lot of games. That's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And just judging by these numbers, you and I will probably hit 200 at some point early June.
In June, baby. In June. Maybe it'll be like a end of school year special, too, because my school gets out on the 10th. We'll be hitting that 200th episode. It'll be time to party, baby.
Yeah, blast your Alice Cooper.
School's out forever. Yo, that was good. We picked the right one. Nicely done. Look, Philly, we're almost at an hour, and we are bone tired right now. Giggity? I don't even know. I know that's a saying,
what?
But listen. What? If you had bone tired on your Finish the Bank bingo card.
There's no boning when it comes to Philly in the scarf. Geez,
good Lord. That being said, Philly, I got nothing more to add to this. I think this lived up to the hype. I think it was as much fun as we thought it would be. It's a bummer we only get one, but at least we come away with a point.
No, for sure. I mean, look, when you're taking 22 shots and you only have six on target, obviously, like, that's going to be an issue. But nevertheless, this is a team that shows fight, tenacity, and grit. And this isn't a team that gets down on themselves like we saw a lot of during the 2021 season. The fact that they climbed back into this game, the fact that they found themselves down twice and yet still managed to come back in and get a point, that speaks volumes. Philadelphia is not a slouch of a team, even though they're starting to end up with almost as many ties as they have wins. They're 5-1-4 at this point. And yet they still remain, I don't know, do they still remain on top of the East? I don't know.
I believe as of right now they are. I'll Google it real quick.
But I mean, still one of the most formidable opponents that LAFC has faced at this point. And again, it just shows you the intestinal fortitude and the fact that these boys believe in themselves and they're willing to fight to the last minute. The 80th minute hex isn't where we concede goals. It's clearly a time where we score goals. And there's a lot of really positive things. So to me, like, this is a team that's on the up and up still a team to beat. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how the rest of the season progresses. But, you know, I'm in no rush. Yeah. I want to enjoy the ride. We want to sit on this victory, enjoy it. And I'm sorry, we want to sit on this draw, enjoy it while we can, and then go into Tuesday fresh, bushy-eyed and whatever, like the
bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah, whatever. I always think of raccoon Mario from Super Mario 3 is what I think of when I hear that. But yeah, we face the pesky pine trees in the U.S. Open Cup. Tickets are still available and they're not expensive for Tuesday. And yeah, that's my take. It was a good game. I'm so thrilled that it's 1:34 on a Sunday, not 1:34 going in from a Sunday to a Monday.
No, going in from a Saturday to a Sunday.
Yeah, that's what we are right now. Amen.
Go.
Please, I hate these Sunday games. LAFC.
Yeah, it was a Saturday game.
What I'm saying is I hate Sunday games. Oh. I'm happy for the Saturday game.
All right, well, there you go. Philadelphia is indeed at the top of the table, though the New York Red Bulls, by the way, Philly, 5-0-0 on the road.
I don't like that energy drink.
No, yeah, I do not. And you guys know how we like to end all of our podcasts, including this one, episode 191.
Happy Mother's Day. Bye-bye.